Are you happy? Well, I'm excited. We're going to talk about worship this morning, and it's still morning, right? Okay, it's kind of not, but whatever. Somewhere in Hawaii, it's morning. You know what I'm saying? That's where my family's from. So, Lord, I just want to pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for the anointing for worship. Thank you for the open heaven that's in this house, God. We thank you, even as Annie was singing about the winds of the Spirit blowing, God, I thank you that you're blowing in this place. And God, and when you blow, that means you're releasing life and you're releasing change. And God, we thank you that even as we're worshiping, God, that there's just a whole new season. There's a whole new realm that we're in now, God, and we're grateful for that. We thank you today. It's 8:28, Romans 8:28. It's the day where you're working all things together for our good. Today is a convergence day. It's a day of promises fulfilled. It's a day of dreams come true, and it's the start of new promises for the season of Summit and Summit Music. God, we thank you for this, God. We thank you that you've marked our church. You've marked us for revival, God, not only in the missions and nations, but God, with the sound of revival, with the music, God, that you've marked this church, God. It's a thing you've done, God. We thank you for the mark of revival and the sound. Revive means to bring to life again. We thank you wherever the sound goes, life is released and people come alive, God. Just so, like when Obed-Edom, he hosted the Ark of the Covenant at his house and the blessing of the Lord God on everything that he had. God, we thank you for even the sound that's being released today, the Wave After Wave album, God, that this would release life everywhere it goes, everywhere it's played. Our heart, God, our dream is that this revival that's happening here would spark a move of God, not only in our region, in our state, in the United States, but the nations, God, would be sparked with the waves upon waves of your goodness and the glory of God. Oh, we thank you for it today. Oh, we thank you for it today. We thank you for the waves. Oh, we thank you for the waves. Ew. Oh, we thank you. You just always give too much. It's always more than enough. It's always more than enough. Ooh. It's John 1:16. He said, from his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. And in Greek, it's charis anti charis. And charis is the word for grace, unmerited favor, a favor which one gets without any merit of his own. It's favor. It's the blessing, the smile and the hand of God. That's favor. Come on, somebody. They said it's the favor of God that you didn't work for, you didn't deserve, but because you put your faith in Jesus and you're in a blessing zone, you're in a favor zone, because that's what it is to walk in Christ. And he says it's from his fullness. What's his fullness? Grace and truth. He said, from his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. Charis, anti-charis. Charis means grace, and then anti means in place of. So it's literally the picture of just when you go to the beach and you see the wave come, and then it gets replaced by another wave, and then another wave comes, and then another wave comes. And how many of y'all realize the waves just never stop coming? This is a picture of what God's doing in our day and what the whole song, the whole album is about. It's about God releasing his goodness in wave upon wave, grace upon grace, glory upon glory, blessing. What NIV translates it, one blessing after another. This is the goodness of God. Jesus, when he came on the earth, he opened up the scroll of Isaiah, and he said in Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to release the captives and opening of the eyes of the blind and healing. But this is what he said, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And if you read that passage in Luke 4:19, if you read this passage in the Amplified, it says, the day when the free favors of God profusely abound. Realize that day has not stopped yet. The second Jesus announced it was released in the atmosphere, and the day hasn't stopped. The day when the free favors of God profusely abound, it's today. To touch your neighbor and say, it's today. And this is the blessing. This is what the song is about, that God, you'll pour out your spirit on a dry and thirsty land. You give of your mercy with a mighty outstretched hand. Waves of your power come crashing over us. You clothe us with fire and you purify our hearts. That's what the waves of God do when they hit your life. Ah, you give of your fullness, so full of grace and truth. And you rescue the sinner. And all the lost are found in you. You heal every sickness and you set the captives free. God, come and reign on our city, because it's the move of God that we want to see. This is what the song is about. That not only the tension of the waiting, saying, God, we know this is what the word said and we want to see it. But then at the end of it, it's like, no, you've been doing this all along. You've been pouring out like wave after wave after wave. And this is the sound that we want to be released through the nations. This is the sound that we want to hit every coastline and every people group, every tribe, every tongue, that Jesus' goodness would hit them and they would see God. Because how many of y'all know that worship starts with seeing God? If you can see God, then you can worship. If you can't see God, your worship is stifled. Because Matt Redden wrote a song. This is what he said. He said, no one can sing of things they have not seen. And so, Lord, open our eyes towards a greater glimpse of you. And he said, worship starts with seeing you. And our hearts respond to your revelation. This is worship. Worship is a heart connection with God. It is our response to who he is and what he's done. Worship is when our hearts see the beauty of Jesus and we start going in awe and wonder and start giving him thanks and start declaring, oh God, you're amazing. How many of y'all realize that's why every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Not because he's making them, but because he's so beautiful. Woo! When you see Jesus. Some of us get uncomfortable in worship services, but it might be because we haven't seen Jesus for a little while. When we got saved, it was good. That was good for then. But how many of y'all realize it's a day-by-day thing? Psalm 96, verse 2 says, day after day, proclaim the good news of his salvation. It's a day-after-day thing. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing. God, every day we have the moment to look into the Word and see another glimpse of Jesus. And see another beautiful glimpse. I mean, sometimes it's not going to be the ooey gooey stuff where it's the love of God, the unconditional love, and we love that. But what if we pray? What if we praise him for his wrath poured out on the enemies of God? Yeah. Because that's who God is too. How many of y'all realize God is love, but God is also a consuming fire. God loves justice. Sometimes we major on the things that make us feel good, but some the other parts of God are just about as much God as the things that we like to, the things that we're not used to. And God, when we see God, it inspires worship. This is why the wise men, the second that they saw Jesus, they were bringing their gifts. They followed a star and they found the place and it rested over the manger where they were at. And the Bible says it very clearly, when they saw him, they worshiped and they opened up their treasures. This is what happens when people truly see Jesus. It's not only their worship, they're bowing down, they're proceeding forth to kiss. That's what the Greek word for worship means. When Jesus says they'll worship in spirit and truth, we'll look at it later, but the Greek word for worship is proskuneo. Pros means going towards something, and kuneo comes from the root word to kiss. And it literally means, it can mean an intimate thing like a husband going to a wife to kiss. It can also mean a servant who would bow before the master and he would throw up kisses like this, like that, and they would throw up kisses and they would bow and become close to God. This is what it means. And so when you not only did the wise men do this, they bowed before Jesus, but then they opened up their treasures. How many of y'all, true worship, how many of y'all like when true worship hits your heart, it also hits your wallet? Oh, you don't like that one. You should. It's really good too. Because how many of y'all like you, there's one realm of life where you're in charge of your wallet, and then there's another realm of life where God's in charge of it. Yeah. When you're in charge of it, it's stress and strain and striving and you trying to do everything for yourself. When God's in charge of it, it's the hand of God, not your hand. How many of y'all would like God's hand on your finances? Yeah. This is the blessing of what happens when a heart starts worshiping God. Is when you start surrendering and saying, God, oh, Cam, you can keep playing. It helps it go down better. It's really good. If you want to, if you can, unless you have to. Okay, cool. I like it. You guys like? I like it. Listen, there's something about worship that connects our hearts to the Lord. It's the proskuneo. It's the intimacy with God. And the Bible says it like this in John 4, verses 23 and 24. It says, the hour is coming. Jesus is speaking. He says, the hour is coming and now is. I want someone to say, now is. Now is. It's right now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father, I love this, is my favorite part. The Father is seeking such to worship him. This, how many of y'all realize you don't look for things that you don't want, but when you're looking for something, it's because you want it. And the one thing that God, Jesus is telling us that God is actually looking for is people who would have a heart connection with him. People people who would be in devotion and in a love relationship. There's so many imagery, so much imagery through the scriptures of a husband and a wife, or a father and his children, or a friend to a friend. All of these are relationship aspects that we get to have with God, and worship is the access point for these things. And worship in spirit and in truth. In verse 24 it says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is actually looking for people to draw near to Him and have a heart connection. I love this about God. I love this about God, that He actually wanted us. It's not like this weird thing where He's like, Jesus said, it's not like the kings of these age who lorded over them and they dominate everybody. It's not the kind of king that Jesus is. Even Napoleon Bonaparte, he was quoted saying this, that he said, me and Caesar and Charlemagne have ruled the earth and have had empires, and that we've ruled the earth. But he said, this man, Jesus Christ, has founded an empire. He said, our empires have been founded on force. But he said, Jesus Christ founded this empire solely upon love. And to this day, millions are willing to die for Him. We all know Jesus is the king that everybody wants. And so God's not this kind of God like, you have to worship me. It's more of like, no. I paid the hugest price so that way we could just have connection. Worship at its core is a heart connection with the Lord. That's why we spend so much time just singing out to God, whatever the song is. We can sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. That's a prophetic song. Maybe in Christmas you'll get it. But like, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, because it's just connecting our hearts to the Lord. And at the end of the day, that's all He ever wanted. That's all He ever wanted, was us just to be heart connected with the Savior. Somebody just got it right now. Worship is our response. It's our heart connection. How many of y'all realize that worship is not just a warm-up to the sermon? Sometimes, I'm going to say this. This is our house. Sometimes we treat it like that. Sometimes we treat it like, the first two songs, because they're happy, jumpy songs, they're not real worship. We have to get to the deep song in order for my heart to actually engage. We're like, I can be late. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really... How many of y'all realize that, like, the second that the note hits, it should be actually before the note hits, our hearts are already carrying worship in the room. But what I'm trying to tell you, I'm talking about the worship set. As soon as the note hits, man, our hearts can be completely hands lifted, connected to the Lord. And it can actually be a real encounter with God instead of waiting for the deep song in order to worship for reals. Like it has to be slow in order for it to be real. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's like the pads. The dude in the corner. All the anointings here. Now I can worship. Or you can just bring your own anointing in the room and just love Jesus. And not wait for anybody to make... This is the thing. Worship leaders, our job is to inspire you to get to that place and facilitate that relationship, facilitate that connection, that journey. But how many of y'all realize, like I've been in services all in different places and here as well, that the second we start, all of a sudden everyone is running towards God. And I'm like, it's like trying to walk my dog, walking crazy. All right, let's go. Yeah, it's like, I love that. That's amazing. Because then the worship leader, you just nudge this. Oh, wait, we're going this way. This is what the Lord's saying. We're going this way. Instead of you ever get try to, walk a cat or something, you're like... You know what I'm saying? Or you get the dog who doesn't want to go and he's just scooting his butt along. Sometimes services feel like that. I'm just being real with you. But the reality is that sometimes we have to realize that we can actually connect with the heart of God in all these moments. Like, whether we feel it or not. How many of y'all realize Hebrews 13:15? This is what it says, it's not going to come up on the screen, but this is what it says in the Amplified. It says, through Him, through Jesus, therefore let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. Hebrews 13:15. It's the sacrifice of praise. How many of y'all realize that the sacrifices today, we're not offering bulls and rams and lambs and all this kind of stuff. We're not doing that anymore because Jesus already did the one sacrifice that makes the connection with God happen. Our sacrifices aren't to get a connection with God. Our sacrifices are thanking Him for the one connection or the one sacrifice that He already did make. Are you with me on this? The sacrifice for us to enter into the Holy of Holies has already been paid. The blood has already been shed. And now we offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we look at the sacrifice of praise as we only interpret that sacrifice of praise as, oh, I'm praising God when I don't feel like it. But that's actually not what the Bible's teaching us right there. The Bible's actually teaching us this is now our proper response to God for who He is and what He's done. That's what He's saying. Instead of bringing animals to try to please God, bring your thank yous to God in response to what He's already done for you. Are you with me on this? I still believe that we should give a sacrifice of praise even when we don't feel it. A sacrifice means to kill something for a purpose. Sometimes we need to kill our emotions for the purpose of giving glory to God. Sometimes we need to, you know, kill our I don't feel it. I don't like that song. That's not my key, you know. Whatever. God is your key, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the sacrifice of praise is to just kill those things for the purpose of honoring God, because why? It is what you're created for. I think I have some points on the outline that maybe we'll get to. Maybe I should. No, whatever. This is the thing. We'll get there. This is the thing. I want to encourage you guys. There's something about worship that you were born for. Like, you were made for this thing. It's not just something that a worship leader asks you to do, or, you know, because we're trying to create an atmosphere for miracles or something like that. Like, that helps in that. And that's actually part of the blessing of worship, is it creates an atmosphere for the miraculous. I believe in that. But the thing is that it's more than that. It's actually what you were born for. Isaiah 43 actually says this. It's about verse 20 or 21. You can look at it. I think it's 21. It says, the people that I formed for my praise. The people that I formed for my praise. You were actually formed to give praise to God. And this is the deal. You will find their fullness of fulfillment when you're giving thanks and praise to God. You will find the fullness of fulfillment of why you've been created when you were in the presence and giving worship and giving honor to God. This is the beauty of worship. This is the beauty of connecting with the Lord. And so this is the deal. Like, I have a few points and I want to share them with you. This is what, if you want to sign up for the worship team, which, by the way, if you're like a musician in here and you're like a sleeper and you've been hiding from us, like, we want you, you know, Uncle Sam, we want, no, that's weird. Like not the Uncle Sam, the army dude that has whatever. Anyway, the point is that we want you to be a part of this thing. We want you to be a part and serve God with your musicianship. But here's the deal. If you sign up for the worship team, we give an application, and there's three things. And I said, this is what the point of the message, the mission of worship. There's three points of our team. This is literally what it says on the application. Worship is an essential part of our ministry here at Summit, and the mission of the worship team can be broken down into three main parts. And these are your three points. I'll give them to you right away, but don't check out on me. Number one is to lead people in praise and worship of our awesome God. Number two is to release the atmosphere of heaven. And number three is to play skillfully. Number one is to lead people in praise and worship of our awesome God. Number two is to release the atmosphere of heaven. And number three is to play skillfully. This is our, if we would say, a mission of our worship. If I would try to break it down in three things, this is what we're going for. We want to have, we want to facilitate connection with people when they are connecting with God in praise and worship. So that's the first thing. And as we look at the first thing, I want to just look at Psalm 115 a little bit here. Psalm 115. This is what it says in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. How many realize that's the heart of a worshiper going like, God, we found something in you that's beyond what we could ever have on our own. It says, to your name give glory, because, there's that response, because of your mercy. In Hebrew, it's hesed, it's the steadfast love of God. And then he says, because of your truth. And truth can also be translated faithfulness and or stability or reliability or sureness. This is beautiful. And then he says in verse 2, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? In verse 3, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. But verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Check this out. Verse 8. Is it up here? Verse 8. Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. Whoa! This is a huge principle in worship, that you become like what you're worshiping. You actually take on the personality of the thing that you're worshiping. In this case, they have idol worship. This is why idolatry is this nasty. It's a horrible thing. It ruins lives. Idolatry, it putting anything else in the God spot in your heart. God should have number one in our hearts. This is why idolatry is horrible. Not because it's just a bad thing. It's because it ruins your life. And he says, you actually become like what you're worshiping. He said, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. In other words, your spiritual sensitivity to the goodness of God becomes dull because you're worshiping something that's not God. AKA, you take on the personality of the thing that you're worshiping. I submit to you that if you're having a hard time connecting with the Lord, you may want to check what you're worshiping. You may want to check where the devotion of your heart, where if God has first place or if he has any other place, then you may have some idols in your life. It could be your job. It could be your spouse. It could be a boyfriend. It could be a girlfriend. It could be Pokemon Go. What? What? Snapchat. I bind the devil at Snap. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, it could be any of these things. If they have our devotion, if they have our hearts more than God does, then you actually start becoming like it. You start having eyes, but you can't see. You start having ears, but you can't hear. Like, I can't hear God anymore. What if you changed and started worshiping God again? And watch as transformation happens. Are you with me on this? This even happens in regions. When a region is under the influence of principalities and powers, the people start taking the personality of the principality that's over the region. This is why we still deal with racism, and we're still dealing with all these things all over the nation, because there's principalities and powers, and the people who are submitting to them are actually taking on the personality of the thing that's ruling in the region. But how many of y'all realize that San Diego is a worshiping region? Like, we're not the only ones releasing albums here. There's like a handful of other people that are releasing worship albums, because the sound is not only just going forth in the churches, but it's getting into the ground. It's getting into the atmosphere. It's saturating this region. And it dislodges principalities and powers without us even trying. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just lifting up God so much that people start taking on the personality of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They start taking on right living. They start taking on the joy. They start taking on peace because they started worshiping the one true God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the Bible says we resist the devil, and then what happens? He flees. I'm telling you, the key to transforming a culture, the key to transforming a society is becoming a worshiping people. This is who Summit Church is. You know that. You guys are known for worship in the region. Summit Church is known as a worshiping church. Come on. What if the kingdom of God came so much in our worship that the atmosphere in the dorms, that their parties started just falling flat, you know? Like, it was like the Thirsty Thursday turned into Thirsting for the Living Water. You know what I'm saying? Thirsting for the new wine, you know? Whatever it is, what if the atmosphere was so saturating because the worshiping people stopped submitting to the principalities and it dislodged what the devil was trying to put in San Marcos? Whoa, you become like what you worship, and you take on the personality of the thing that you're beholding. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That's what it means to go from glory to glory. From glory to one degree of glory. That's the weightiness of God's presence in increasing over your life as you worship, and it's transformation. Sanctification actually happens in the midst of worship. Amen. You actually get changed. And you actually, this is the thing, you become conscious of who you are when you're in the realm of worship. You become conscious of what God purchased for you at the cross. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and 2 that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. And the Bible says it's far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named. How many of y'all realize that's not just a little bit above the devil's, but that's like, whoo! far above. In Greek, it's hooper. Hooper means to throw beyond. Like you're shooting an arrow at a target, and because we're not that good, it shoots over the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I don't play basketball, but I try to shoot it. It just shoots right over the deal. You know? Now, when that's a bad scenario, in our case, it's a good scenario. You know what I'm saying? Because God is far above. Someone say far above.
Far above.
God is far above every enemy that would ever come against you. And when you worship, you become aware and conscious of what God and where God has placed you in the heavenly places. I remember when I first got saved that I realized, like, man, I know I had issues, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't really aware of them because I was so conscious of God's love for me. And this is what I mean by that. Like, I was a worshiping machine. I mean, I still am, but you know, life changes a little bit throughout the years, and you have kids, and time is a different factor. You know, parents know what I'm talking about. But this is the thing. In my car, I'm driving and I'm worshiping God, and this would be my portable David's tabernacle. You know what I'm saying? I'm just Mount Zion, and we're just worshiping God. And this was so crazy because people would be like, "Hey, brother, can you pray for me? I'm going through something. And I would be realizing, like, why does everyone else have problems and I don't? But the reality was, I still had issues. I just wasn't focusing on them because I was so caught up in worshiping God all the time. I was sitting in the heavenly places, conscious of where I am, and I was up here, big God, little devil, little problems. Big God, big Savior, big healer, big deliverer, mighty and strong to save, and little devil, little problems. And all the other things just weren't as big anymore because I realized where I was seated. Woo! It's what worship does for you. I mean, like, is worship for you? Yes. It's to God and it's for you. We need to just not think about ourselves. Good. Then just worship God and watch how it blesses you. Sometimes people get overly religious about, like, we have too many songs that say I and me and we. It should just be about God. And I'm like, bro, read the Psalms. You know, say there's a lot of I, there's a lot of me, there's a lot of we, there's a lot of us connecting with a lot of him. You know what I'm saying? And there's something about the heart connection and just in worship with him that actually transforms you. This is what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 32. Isaiah 30, verse 32. It says, and in every place, this is a prophecy about the Lord defeating the enemies of Assyria, but it works for us. It says, in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with what? Tambourines and harps. And in battles of brandishing, he will fight with it. God is actually working behind the scenes, defeating the enemy as we're playing our music to him. This is what Isaiah is saying. Let me help you out here. This is the Message Bible. This is Message Translation. Every blow God lands on them with his club is in time to the music of drums and pipes. God in all-out two-fisted battle fighting against them. Woo! Come on, man. You mean that just at the sound of God's praise, God is beating the devil down, punching him in the face, his two-fisted battle, brandishing his sword against him? That's amazing. And sometimes you're not even aware of it, but you just lifted your hands and said, highest praise is Lord of all. And that depression lifted off of you. Your body got healed. One time my friend was standing right over there and he turned like this to me towards worship and his neck was healed. He's like, dude, my neck just got healed. I'm like, dude, that's what happens. God actually starts defeating the enemies while you just give him praise. Isn't that what happened in 2 Chronicles 20 with King Jehoshaphat and the armies? He said, send the praisers ahead. They started saying, give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His love endures forever. And God set ambushments against the enemy just because they were giving praise to him. When you lift up praise to him, God starts working behind the scenes and defeats the enemies that are coming against you. And the sanctification happens. The holiness comes in your life. Because you start realizing that you're a carrier of God's glory. And who would want to defile a carrier of God's glory? Who would want to go into sin and do different things that would defile the beauty of what God has placed inside of you? I was thinking about this the other day. Yesterday we had an outreach to the campus and it was so fun. But like at the end we were praying and all of a sudden my hand just started sparkling. Like gold started appearing on my hand. And I had this thought and you know, there's so many things that God can speak through it. You know, Isaiah 60 says his glory will be seen on you. And so I started seeing the glory and I was going like, oh my gosh. And I started realizing this hand is holy. This hand is holy. The glory of God is on. And I started realizing like, oh my gosh, like what would it be like if we walked with a consciousness of the glory that's on us? Like for example, if you had like a fine china thing, or if you had a really like precious artifacts from your grandparents or whatever the thing is, you're not just going to put that in the middle of the kitchen table, you know, or put it on the coffee table with infants running around. You know what I'm saying? You're going to put that in a safekeeping place. You're going to treat it with high respect and high honor. I started thinking like, oh my gosh, like glory is on me. And I started realizing like, dude, this is a sign of holiness. I started realizing when the glory is on you, you start realizing the beauty of who God made you to be. And who would want to throw wine on a woman's wedding dress? Who would want to defile the beauty of who God? And that's what worship does. Worship allows you to see the beauty of who God is and who he's made you to be. And the holiness of God. This is where holiness is an awesome message. It's not holiness. Sometimes holiness, people think, equates with you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. No. Holiness is I am set apart and I'm beautiful. And who would want to defile the beautiful thing that God has made? Come on, somebody. And so I think that was number one. Number two is to release the atmosphere of heaven. Release the atmosphere of heaven. I had a snake appear in my yard, but how many of y'all realize like I set a place for it because I had a pile of rocks. I was doing yard work. I have a pile of rocks sitting where the hose like spigot thing is. I go to turn the thing on and this garter snake goes, oh God, you know what I'm saying? I was like, thank you Jesus that like it's not a poisonous snake, but I sure acted like it was. And like, it was a crazy moment. But how many of y'all realize because I made a pile of rocks and my house is next to an open field, I made a place for the snake to dwell. And this is what praise does for God. Come on. Like when you lift up praise to God, you actually make a place for him to dwell and it releases the atmosphere of heaven. That's Psalm 22 verse 3. But you are holy and you're enthroned on the praises of Israel. But if you say like, I want to feel the presence of God, then start lifting up your voice in praise. The word for praise there in Psalm 22:3 is a Hebrew word called tehillah. Now, not tequila, but tehillah. You know what I'm saying? And it means the extemporaneous, the spontaneous words of praise that start coming out of your mouth out of a grateful heart. And when, for some reason, God responds to all kinds of praise, but that type of praise, he actually makes a throne on top of it. And he's right there in the midst. And that's where, if God's throne is there, that means his kingdom is there. And the Bible says, wherever, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And so when God's reigning in a place, that's the atmosphere of heaven all around. And that's why we pray for healing. That's why we pray for, you know, all the different things that happen, because we know that in God's presence, the freedom, the anointing, the people getting set free happens. This is what happened when David played 1 Samuel 16:23. It said that David took his harp and just played before King Saul. I don't know if you realize this, but he actually didn't sing anything. He just played. He just took his harp and just started playing. Worshiping God, the Spirit of God was on him. It wasn't, how many of y'all realize it wasn't just sound, it was anointed sound. It was the sound of heaven on his music. And at the sound of it, the demons would leave off of Saul. Some of us, we walk into the room during praise and worship and we actually feel peace again. That's because the presence of the Lord, the atmosphere of heaven came in. Are you with me? This is the atmosphere of heaven and the prophetic. I love the prophetic that comes in the worship. There's so much to this, man. And I just to give you a few things here, but like the prophet Elisha was going to prophesy that he was about to prophesy that the king of Israel asked him to come over, and he said, hey, we need a word from the Lord. We need to know what to do about these enemies. And so he basically just said, 2 Kings 3:15, he says, bring me someone who plays the harp. And the Bible says that at the second that the harp started playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha the prophet, and the prophetic word came for Israel. The atmosphere in praise and worship creates a realm for the prophetic to flow and for the voice of the Lord to come and speak to our lives. And how many of y'all know we need the voice of the Lord to live? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that's spoken out of the mouth of God. And in Greek, the word for word that's spoken out is rhema. It's not logos, it's rhema. So man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God, the very inspired word of God, the God-breathed word. That's what happens in the midst of worship. And that's how even the Psalms were written. The Psalms were written because they would have worship sessions just like what we're doing today. And they would just sing praise and they would sing worship to God. And then all of a sudden, the prophetic song would come forth. And that, so one example is Psalm 46. Verse 1 says, our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He's a refuge and a strength, ever-present help in times of trouble. But if you go down to verse 10, it's the verse that everyone quotes and memorizes. Be still and know that I am God. Wait, who's talking now? The verse 1 was them talking to God, but verse 10 is them God talking to them. How did that happen? Because in the midst of worship, the realm, the spirit of prophecy came in the room and they started singing the word of the Lord. And he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted among the heathen. This is how it happens. Isn't it good to know that we're doing worship the same way Israel did worship? A little bit of different instrumentation. But it's the same anointing. And it's the same spirit. And that prophetic word, it's Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's the sword of the Lord. It's when Jesus' words come and it brings life. Everyone say life. This is the atmosphere of heaven that we're after in our sound. It's the atmosphere of what God wants to do. And there's so many things. You know, Paul and Silas are praying that earthquake happens. They get set free from prison. There's like all this stuff. And the last thing on this message is this, to play skillfully. Our mission as a worship team is not only to inspire people to worship God and to release the atmosphere of heaven, but it's to play skillfully. How many of y'all know that David did not use the anointing as an excuse to be a crummy musician? Amen. David didn't use the anointing. How many, he was super anointed. I mean, David was so into the heart of God that he saw you. Psalm 32, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you. Because he was so in the heart of God, he saw you. David was super anointed. But it was because he played. He not only had the heart of anointing, but he played skillfully. Psalm 33:3 says, sing to him a new song and play skillfully. Psalm 78, verse 72, it said, David shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Are you guys still with me? This is what we value. We value excellence because we also know that excellence influences our impact. And when we're excellent, people can see through us and see the shining beauty of Jesus. When we're fumbling through our notes and blundering the whole thing, the anointing will cover, you know, this isn't a verse in the Bible, but I made it up. The anointing covers a multitude of mistakes. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's like the same thing, right? But the reality is when we're excellent, when we're making a bunch of mistakes, people are like, oh, okay, what's going on? You know, and all of a sudden they're out of the spirit, into their minds going like, what's going on? But when excellence is there, they're able to go streamline right to the heart of God. This is why we value this thing so much. Are you with me? Oh, ooh, hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord. I want to just take a moment. You know, Jesus said to worship in spirit. I believe that there's something about our spirit man communing with God and praying in the spirit, singing in the spirit. That's why sometimes it's hard for people to speak in tongues for the first time because it gets out of their brain into their spirit. But that's where the miracles happen. That's where the connection happens with the Lord because your spirit. I mean, I realize like you can't understand everything about God. And if you try to, you will be frustrated. But your spirit can connect with God faster than your brain can. And I want to take a moment to worship him in spirit and watch the presence of God just fall on us. That's how come John the Baptist could leap in the womb before his brain was fully developed. Because he's spirit to spirit. All right. Lord, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Let's just begin to worship in the spirit. Let's just lift our voices and let's just worship him in the spirit. Let's build a throne for him. Oh, let's build a throne for him with our worship. Just up to Jesus, Lord, we worship you, Lord. Oh, Rabbi Ante le nosi prendo bacchian de le vesci pranie e calabriento l'omus e we worship you. Sound of heaven. Come on, the sound of many waters, just fill this place. Oh, we bless you this morning. Oh, ma kolevesi prande vose. Oh, we love you. Come on, some of us need to just let our hearts just open up. Come on. Ah, out of our heads, into our spirits, we worship you in spirit today, Lord. Wow, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. it's so good to be near you, Lord. We thank you, and I just bless your people, Lord. I bless your people. And we just thank you for deeper realms of worship in our own individual lives. You could be here all day, or you could just be here at 7 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to do. Yeah. Amen. Well, prayer team, please come forward. There's going to be a ministry team for you guys available for ministry and healing, ministry and prophetic. There's a prophetic team over here. All different kinds of things. God bless you guys so much. We'll see you guys tonight at 7 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Amen.